So it's being suggested that to have a holistic church or a rounded approach to a church's vision and purpose, you need to do three things from a certain perspective. From the perspective of looking up to God and worshiping Him. So your vision and your purpose needs to include that. From the perspective of looking out into the community of God's people out there. So the vision and the purpose needs to include that. And from the perspective of looking inwards and looking at how we encourage one another as we walk as disciples towards Jesus. I think actually it's quite interesting that Acts reading interweaves that throughout, really, doesn't it? We see in different parts of it, we see in the up area, every day they continue to meet in the temple courts, in the churches. Together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, we read elsewhere. And then there's the out part. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Then the in part. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, we've already heard. So up, out, and in are the three areas that you need to have in your vision and your purpose to be holistic and to be, I think, truly what God would have us be. And I think our purpose and our vision do that. Serving the community of Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship seems to intertwine all three of those in it, really. And then, of course, with the vision, last week we spoke about the out part, the community part, with the first two parts of our vision. And this week I want to talk about the in part. To enable all ages to grow in discipleship and faith in small groups, whilst giving and receiving support, love, and practical help. And to be a place where all ages gather together to worship God in a range of expressions. Our two final parts of our vision. And I want to talk about those in reverse order. I want to start by talking to us about what it means to be a place where all ages gather together to worship God in a range of expressions. Or as I like to term it, big church, Sunday church, this big church, where we all gather as one. And actually, big church is an area in Bedhampton where we have a real advantage. We have an absolute gift in that we have two venues and a range of expressions across those venues, don't we? And I think we're really blessed. In fact, I believe we've got about three or four different expressions, obvious expressions of worship in our parish. If you perhaps like a little structure to your worship, you could go along. I just come from the 8 o'clock where every week we have communion around the table and there's a structure to the service and the Holy Spirit interacts with us there. If perhaps you're still more of the traditional mind and you like to use words in your worship, you can go to the 11 o'clock where every week we have a service with words and an organ and we worship God in that way. If you prefer a more relaxed style, then of course we come here, don't we, to our 9:30 where you can worship God in that way. We have a whole range of expressions and that doesn't include the likes of Compline or Celtic prayer, which we also have. We worship the same awesome God. We listen for the same loving Holy Spirit. We walk towards the same Jesus in all of those expressions. In fact, actually, we have the same leadership team, don't we? We have the same vision, the same purpose. We are the same family. And occasionally, as we will do next week, we come together and we move across our different traditions and we come together as one big family where we worship God together. And I believe we need to do all of these things with excellence. We need to move forward if we're going to truly live out this. If it's not just going to be a tagline on the bottom of our vision, we need to do all of what we do, be it here or St. Thomas, with excellence. What does it mean for us to move forward and become even better at worshipping God in a charismatic, band-led style, relaxed style of worship here? What does it mean to be in a more formal system, more formal service at 8 o'clock, but still allow the Holy Spirit to interact? Now, what does it mean for me and you to explore words, liturgy, if you will, at the 11 o'clock? And see that explode as well with God's Holy Spirit coming. I have my mantra for my personal life as a leader of a church is I want to enable anyone who loves Jesus and wants to walk towards him, I want to enable them to do that in their worship style. I don't care what it is. I don't care if they're bouncing off the walls or whether they're sitting quietly in the corner. If they want to walk towards Jesus, that's my job. That's what I want to do. That's my calling, to enable them to worship Jesus. And my hope and prayer is that actually we will see growth both in number and in depth of discipleship across all of our big church services. But I believe God has more for us, which is why we have this tagline on our vision, that at Bedhampton we seek to enable all ages to grow in discipleship and faith in small groups whilst giving and receiving support, love and practical help. You see, the truth is, Jesus is looking for disciples, not churchgoers. Big church is wonderful and it's great, but it's also very neat and tidy. I mean, you can come here, can't you? And you can sing a few songs and you can listen to me speak and mark me out of 10. Go on, you do. I know you do it. Oh, we were only a 7 this week.
Minus.
So encouraging, this church. But then you can go home, can't you? And you can leave it at that. If you really want to, you don't have to think. You don't have to take any action. You can just leave it at that. But the problem for me is that if you do that, my experience is that if you do that, after 3 years or so, you've heard all the sermons, haven't you? So you can nod off during the sermon. Or worse still, someone says or does something and you just decide to leave church. And I don't believe that's the life to the full that Jesus speaks of, is it? That's not the Jesus that I read of in this book we love so much. And so I think Jesus has more for us. I think actually the more can often be found not so much as in the big church, which we can find it there, but also in the small church, in the life church, in the home group, in whatever you want to call it, in the day-to-day of walking together with a small group. But it's difficult because we are human, aren't we? And Jesus sets the bar quite high, doesn't he? We read in Mark, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all. And he says, be at peace with one another, as though that just rolls off the tongue. Or from today, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And then he just says as a parting shot, this is my command, love one another. Life church, small church, home group is messy. But I believe that's where we are being called to be. I believe there are only certain things that you can do in smaller numbers. I don't know, numbers of about 12? Seems to be a good number. Someone may have used that number before. Because actually, when you meet together in small groups of 12 or a few more, and you read things like, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is my command, love one another. You can do that in a group of 12 or so, can't you? And I'm not for one moment suggesting that we do away with big church. Far from it. It's what enables some of the other things that are out there. It's what enables us to celebrate and give a thanksgiving for Ralph, isn't it? Big church is important. And it's important that we do that in a range of expressions as God's people here in Bedhampton. But I believe God's calling us to more. And so we might want to rethink what big church really is about. Perhaps it is about worshipping in the corporate, but perhaps it's about coming to big church with your small church, such that you are equipped then to go out and do everyday life together. Maybe Life Church comes to big church and then goes out there to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's what it's about. Maybe that's what church has always been about. I'm convinced more and more that is the case. And small church is not a new idea. It's not a Max idea. It's not an idea that your PCC has suddenly got together. There are churches around the world whose focus is on small church. They come together in the big church to enable them to go out in the small church. It's not a new idea. Some would even say it's 2,000 years old. So the question for me as a church leader, and I've alluded to this before, is that if you were to come to me and say to me, Max, I can't do both big and small church this week, which one should I choose? Am I willing to say to you, choose the small? Because actually, big church, successful churches look successful because they've got big numbers on a Sunday. But actually, my heart for success in this church is that you walk towards Jesus. And so I stand here and say to you, I don't want you to choose. I want you to enjoy God and worship God in the big and the small. But if you have to choose, choose the small. Because in my experience, in my own life and those that I love, that's where the growth happens. As people walk towards Jesus, as they trust one another, as they eat food around the table together, that is where the growth happens. And then we celebrate that in the big. And I believe it's an idea whose time has come again. We seem to be needing to be reminded of this often. But I believe that God is calling this church to get and to concentrate on the small. And so I leave that with you as I finish our vision and our purpose mini-series. And my challenge to you is the same as it's been for the last couple of weeks, is to grab one of these bookmarks, if you haven't already, which has our vision and our purpose on it. And on the back has that Micah reading that reminds us to walk humbly, to love justice. And to just take that every day this week, and just to sit down with a cup of tea and read the vision and the purpose statement, read the Micah reading, and pray to God and say to him, Lord, what is my part in this? Because there'll be an opportunity to respond to that in a few weeks' time. But this week, I want to ask you to do one more thing. Ask yourself, what is my small church? We're going to be enabling small church for the young people as Freya comes on board, and you'll hear more about that over the next few weeks. But what is your small church? Now, you might be in a home group already. You might be in a small group of people that you walk with. But I would say to you, as well as that prayer you've been saying, say this, say, God, is it time for me to step into small church? What does that look like for me? And if you're brave enough to step forward, and now is the time, come to me and talk to me about it. Say, yes, Max, I'm up for it. Because I will enable more small groups. I will enable more life churches, more small churches, because that's what I believe we are being called to right now. And I believe if we do that, if we live out these words, if we live them out in big church and small church, then we truly will be a church who's serving Bedhampton by sharing God's love and friendship. And so if I've got a lot of passion, it's because I am. And so for the last time, I invite you to come and join us on the journey.